Do any of your students struggle to make progress? Do you have a hard time getting them to practice and be disciplined? Is it difficult to have goals and a sense of direction for them? Do you want your students to be more well-rounded and possess comprehensive piano skills? Piano Sensei to the rescue! I'm Clinton Pratt, your host, and I've created a system that provides a step-by-step gradual progression of piano skills, which will give you and your students a clear outline and path. After creating this and using it with my own students, I've noticed more consistent practice, progress, discipline, and motivation. In today's episode, I'm going to walk you through the system that I created and show you exactly how I use it to guide students through learning technique, repertoire, listening skills, reading, improvisation, and even how to increase participation in recitals and studio events. Stick around because I'm giving you a 32-page document, which is crucial in organizing and tracking student progress. And I'm giving it to you completely free so you can copy it and use it for your own studio. You're listening to The Piano Sensei Way, a podcast for piano teachers who own a studio business and want less stress and more success. Welcome to The Piano Sensei Way. I'm your host, Clinton Pratt, and I'm here to help you master the art of running a successful piano teaching studio. Now, I'm super excited about this episode because I've had several teachers tell me they wanted to learn more about the unique achievement program called the Benchmark Program that we use at my studio. But I've been hesitant to share it because I've spent so much time creating it. Basically, I was worried teachers would steal the idea. But guess what? Go ahead. So yeah, I spent probably hundreds of hours creating it, but the purpose was to help students and teachers at my studio, and it did. So now I'm to the point of wanting to share it with others. However, there are a few restrictions due to copyright and trademark, and I'll explain that later. But the basic idea and format and content and all that, you can just copy it for yourself. So when I created this system, it was because there were several problems that I wanted to solve. First, some students weren't really making progress. And I know there can be a lot of reasons for that and, you know, different circumstances. Other students weren't practicing consistently. Sometimes there weren't clear goals and a sense of direction for their path of study, which, you know, could be the teacher's fault, the student's fault, parents, could be a combination of things. Also, some students were great at maybe one thing, but then couldn't do other things. For example, they played pieces and learned them memorized, but then, you know, they couldn't sight read or play scales, or the other way around. Like some students would like do everything for their scales, and but then they, you know, didn't memorize pieces and so forth. And yet other students did everything they were supposed to, but they never came to recitals or studio events. So after I started using this system that I created, all of these things improved. And before we go through the details, I want to play a short clip for you that gives you an overview. This is what I show to prospective and new clients and students at my studio. There's a video with it. So remember, if you're listening on a podcast platform, the video versions of all episodes are on YouTube at The Piano Sensei Way. But if you're just listening and not watching, it's fine. It's basically just me talking about it, but the video just has some images that go with it.
The Benchmark Program is a motivational advancement program for piano study. Mastering the piano is one of the most rewarding experiences in life, but it is also challenging as it involves discipline, consistent practice, and determination. It can be a frustrating struggle if there is no sense of progression or direction, no goals to aim for. The Piano Sensei Benchmark Program offers a step-by-step, gradual progression with a clear outline and path. This is encouraging and provides a sense of accomplishment. You advance through levels similar to karate belts. Our system at Piano Sensei uses colored piano bench icons to signify the level. To get to the next level, you must complete a number of requirements in different categories. Repertoire, which is playing pieces. Technique, which demonstrates skills such as scales, chords, etc. Sight reading, which is reading and playing music you've never seen before. Listening, hear something and be able to play it back and or identify it. Improvisation, make something up on the spot. And finally, experience points. Get points for sharing your music with others and for completing enrichment projects. Once you finish all the requirements, you advance to the next bench. Students have their own binder to keep everything organized. We keep track of your progress through all the different elements. Here's Steven going through his scales to get them checked off on his chart by his instructor. At each recital, we will recognize those who have advanced and give out special awards for the most points and other achievements. We are excited to help you progress and advance as you develop and refine your musical skills. Skills that you will use for the rest of your life.
So there you have it. And now we're gonna sort of go through the details of all the requirements, and I'll give you an overview and show you the different levels. As you heard, there's different areas or categories that students have to pass in order to go to the next level. So they are repertoire, technique, sight reading, listening, improv, and experience points. So let's look at the requirements for the first level. Now, you know, this is similar to karate belts, and the first one is white and then yellow, etc. Basically, in my system, white is a beginner, so that's where you start. So you don't really have to do anything to achieve the status of a white bench. So that's why the first set of requirements basically is yellow. So you start out as white, and then what do I have to do to become yellow? So this is me going through the yellow requirements. So for technique, students have to be able to play pentascales, hands separate, in all major and minor keys. So that would be like this. Here's C major for the right hand. Also a broken triad. And a blocked triad. And then they would have to do the same thing for the left hand. Broken triad. Blocked triad. G major, etc. Okay, all the majors and all the minors. And the way this works is it's not like an exam day or a test day where they have to do all of them. It's basically whenever they're able to do it, pretty much perfect on the first try, then they pass. So as the instructor, I initial on their chart each little box of every little component that they complete. So again, it doesn't have to be that they do all of them on the same day. It's just as they do them. So depending on the student, right, they might be able to do several on one day, or maybe they're just working on C major for this week. So then they come to the lesson, they play it, and then you check it off. And then, okay, great, practice G major for next time, or whatever it is. And there's also minimum speeds. So on the charts, those are listed. So the scales for this at least has to be quarter note is 80. Okay, so that's technique. Now for repertoire, a lot of students in my studio and teachers use the RCM program. So I have RCM equivalents, but you could look that up. So yellow repertoire is basically equivalent to RCM prep A. And for example, that would be some pieces from Alfred Premier Piano Course 1B or some from 2A. Faber Piano Ventures 1 or 2A. Music Tree 1 or 2A. So it's not like the total beginner books, but you know, maybe after 6 months or so. For example, The Juggler by the Fabers. Okay. So that's repertoire, and they have to do 5 of those memorized. Now, there are also other criteria. So it's not just their 5 favorite pieces, although we do want them to do, you know, what they like, but they also have to do a variety. For example, at least one has to be fast and at least one has to be slow. Okay, so that's why I designed it in this specific way so that students can have a variety and be well-rounded. So like, hey, great, you memorized 5 fast pieces, but you can't, that doesn't fulfill the requirement to go on to the next level because you didn't do a slow one. Okay, and then on the progress chart, we just mark them down once they're memorized. So again, they don't have to do all 5 at once. It's just whenever they have one memorized, then you mark it down. So students have a binder and they have their progress charts in there. And then me as the teacher, I'm marking them down once they do it. I also keep a Google Doc for every student in the cloud. So just in case, you know, they forget their binder or lose it, there's a duplicate. Okay, or maybe I forget to put it in my Google Doc, but then I look at the binder and notice that I marked it off already. Okay, now the memorized pieces, there are blanks for more than 5 because we give awards to students who memorize the most pieces. So you got to do at least 5 to go on to the next level, but maybe you did 8 or 10 or 12 or 15. And so we keep track of all of them, even past the required 5. Okay, and then for sight reading tests, this is a test where the student says that they want to try the test. And basically, I get these out of the 4-star series. So you get the prep A 4-star and then do the rhythm and the playing sight reading. Okay, now if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the example of the sight reading. If you're listening, I'll just explain. Basically, for the rhythm, they have to sight read this rhythm, which is half note, quarter, quarter, eighth, 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 half note. Okay, so they have to tap or clap that rhythm. And in the playing example, it's just a few notes in the right hand treble clef and a few notes in the left hand bass clef, 2 different examples. So it's not hands together and there's no skips. It's just stepwise motion starting on probably a landmark like middle C or treble G or bass F. For listening tests for the yellow level, basically they have to tap or clap a rhythm that I play on the piano, and like I play it twice and they have to clap it back. Like for example, I'll play. And then they have to clap. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, and then they have to play back a melody. And I name the key and I'll play it twice. And it basically only uses like the first 3 notes of a scale. For example, I'll say G major. Here it is. And then they have to play it back. And then I'll play a pentascale followed by a triad, and they have to tell me major or minor. Okay, that was minor. And then we've got the experience points. And this is one of my favorite aspects, actually, because remember how I said some students did everything, but then they would never come to a recital or a studio event. And, you know, I don't require them, but I do want them to share their music with others. And I want them to see other people playing. And, you know, we all know how beneficial and helpful that is. So I created this, which is basically you get points for playing in a recital. And you have to have a certain number of points, right? So that way it's like, hey, you've passed everything to move on to yellow, but you never played in a recital, so you have 0 points. You need 15. Okay, now there are other ways of sharing your music. So we have two categories of experience points. One is sharing music, which is basically where you're sharing your skills with somebody else. So in a recital or a festival, or it could even be informal. Like I played my Christmas tunes at my grandma's house for everybody, you know, on Christmas Eve or whatever. Or they played in their talent show at school. Or they could even record themselves playing a video, and then we post it on our Facebook page. So they get points for that. And I have it broken down, you know, it's 5 points for playing at a studio recital, because that's the most valuable thing I want them to do. They get 2 for recording a video. And then, you know, I mentioned there's 2 kinds of points, experience points. There's sharing music, which is what I just described. Then there's enrichment points. And those are basically anything that's not that. Okay, so that could be listening to a piece and giving a reflection or answering questions about it, or attending a concert and then telling the teacher about it. And these all, there's an asterisk and it says must be approved by the instructor ahead of time. So in other words, a student can't just show up and say, hey, I watched a YouTube video, give me points. It has to be that the teacher, you know, assigned it or approved it ahead of time. So another example of enrichment could be they compose a piece, and those points could vary depending on how, you know, lengthy or deep the project is. It could be any kind of, some other kind of project, you know, maybe they like the accordion, so they do research on a accordion and then tell you about it or write a paper on it. Okay, so they have to get at least a certain number of points for sharing music and a certain number of points for enrichment, and then at least a certain number of points total. So for this yellow level, they have to have 5 points in each, but they have to have at least 15 in total. Okay, so that sort of makes it where, you know, they have to do some of each. They can't just get 15 enrichment points, but then they never shared their music. So again, they never came to a recital. So at least 5 in each, and then at least 15 total. And these point requirements go up as the levels increase. So we're going to skip all the way to black, which is the final one. So this just gives you the scope of it, right? So you heard the requirements for yellow, which is Prep A equivalent RCM. Now for black, here are some of the requirements. So for technique, it would be hands together, scales, 4 octaves in all major and minor keys, 16th notes at quarter note is 120. So for example, by the way, I apologize for the poor audio of the piano sound. I had one of the settings wrong. I'm very sorry. I know it's not ideal, but hopefully you still get an idea of what's going on. Okay, and then formula pattern, which is, some people call it the grand scale. That's like a combination of parallel and contrary, where you go up and then out and then in. We've got scales in octaves. We've got scales separated by a third. We've got chromatic scales. Chromatic scales in octaves. We've got broken 4-note chords. Blocked 4-note chords. And we've got broken and blocked 5-7 chords, etc. And then we've got arpeggios, four octaves, which, you know, arpeggios, four octaves in all inversions. So starting on the first inversion, starting on the second inversion, and then 5-7 arpeggios in all inversions. And then all of that for minor, including natural, melodic, and harmonic, and then diminished seven chords in minor as well. So it's a lot, but it's all gradual and step-by-step. So you got yellow, which I showed you before. Then we've got orange, green, blue, purple, brown, red, and then now it's black. So again, I've done it gradual. So it's not just all of a sudden you're playing hands together four octaves, right? It's gradually two octaves and then hands together and then faster and then four octaves, etc. So an example of repertoire for black would be RCM level 10 equivalent. So this would be like a Bach Prelude and Fugue, which counts as one. A Beethoven sonata, like Opus 10 number 1, two contrasting movements. And again, that counts as one. Chopin Nocturne in E minor, Opus 72 number 1. Debussy Arabesque, Cacciatorian Toccata. And then other criteria is there have to be at least five styles or style periods. Okay, so Baroque, Classical, Romantic, 20th Century, Contemporary. At least one has to be Baroque. At least two contrasting sonata movements from one sonata, which counts as one. At least one has to be Romantic. And then all five must be performed on the same day. Okay, so the earlier levels, just whenever they would have one piece memorized, that was fine. We would mark it down. And then by the time you get to green, then you've got to be able to play two of them on the same day. Okay, and as you go higher and higher, more of them have to be on the same day. So when you get to black, all five pieces have to be on the same day, which is kind of like a recital. And then for sight reading, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the rhythm example. But basically, you know, it's pretty tricky. We've got triplet 16ths and dotted quarters and, you know, pickup notes and rests and 16ths and half and eighth note triplets and about eight measures. So you get about 30 seconds to a minute to look it over, and then you've got to tap or clap it. And then for reading, it's a whole page of probably late intermediate, early advanced music. It's not easy. So for the black level listening, they would have to hear a melody three times and then play it back with a left-hand accompaniment. And then for chords, they would have to identify major, minor, augmented, dominant seven, diminished seven, minor seven, and major seven. For example, what's this one? Minor. What's this one? Augmented, etc. Then they would have to identify chords in a chord progression, choosing from 1, 4, 5, 6, and cadential 6-4, for example. And they would have to say 1, 4, cadential 6-4, 5, 6. And then for intervals, it's all the intervals up to major 9th. And they can be broken or blocked. For example, what's this one? Major 6. What's this one? Minor 3rd. How about this one? Perfect 5th. And then experience points, again, it's the same as before, but you just need more points. You need at least 10 for sharing music and 10 for enrichment points, and then at least 25. So you can get those, again, various ways. Okay, and then students have binders, like I said, and there's, you know, there's like, you can put a cover sheet in the front because it's like clear. So we print off a cover sheet that has their current bench and their name. And it's kind of cool because then when they come to group class, because we have periodic group classes at my studio, they see the other students' binders. So it's kind of like, oh, you're a blue. I'm only a green or whatever. And then when they get to a new level, they get a nice certificate, which we present to them at a recital or event. And then we also have medals that are custom, and they have they match the bench color. So the ribbon has the color of the bench, like green, and then the little symbol of the green bench on the medal. And so it's really cool. So we give those out. And that's like how I was saying earlier, when students, you know, don't come to events or whatever. So this is motivating to bring them to recital because not only do they get points for coming, but that's also when the awards are given out. So, I mean, they'll still get their award, you know, if they are absent, but it's fun to be recognized. Also, I should say that they get points for coming to a recital, even if they don't play. So that would be enrichment points. Okay, so that helps recital attendance too, because maybe they don't want to play or they're not ready to play, which would give them 5 points for sharing music. But if they just come, that's enrichment because they're coming to a performance, right? So they get 3 points for coming to a studio recital, even if they don't play. Sneaky, sneaky, tricky, tricky. Yes, that's the Piano Sensei way. No, not to be deceptive, but it's all, you know, it's all for benefit. So it works out. And then we have a poster board in my studio in the hallway that has the bench levels across the top. And then all the names are on like these little magnetic pieces with all the students' names. And then they move across so you can see where everybody is. So that's kind of cool too. They always like looking to see where they are and looking to see where their friends are. Okay, now I promised you a free download. So if you go to benchmark.thepianosenseiway.com, you can get all the charts for all the levels, which is 32 pages. You know, so we've got like for the yellow level, we've got the technique and the repertoire and the sight reading and all of those charts for yellow, and then for orange and for all the levels, all the charts. So that's basically like the whole system that you can have. Now, here's the sort of disclaimer part. So you can copy and use whatever you want from this, but you can't use the benchmark system, like the logos and that name. So, you know, just put your own thing on it. And you can't confer any level or designation upon a student for the Piano Sensei Benchmark program. So like, for example, you can't like use these charts and then like take a student through the yellow requirements and then say, hey, now you're a Piano Sensei yellow bench. What you should do is use the requirements. You can change them if you want. You can do whatever you want, but you know, put your own branding or system or, you know, colors or names to it or whatever and do your own thing. So basically only a Piano Sensei certified instructor can do that. Like can say, oh, you're a like actual Piano Sensei bench level yellow. Okay. And so it's hoped that all this information here will inspire you to create your own system levels and names. And again, it's benchmark.thepianosenseiway.com. Now you might be wondering, wait, what's a Piano Sensei certified instructor? Okay, so now this is kind of a sale, okay, but I don't want it to seem gimmicky. I'm really just doing it because some people have asked, so I'm offering it, but you know, it's totally fine. Like you can just use what I gave you and hopefully that helps you. And you can stop listening to this episode right now. If you don't want to hear this little sales pitch, it's only like 1 minute. But basically, if you want to become a Piano Sensei certified instructor, basically what that means is that you can use the benchmark program in your studio and have your students earn the official Piano Sensei benchmark designation. So like all the branding and the symbols and like it's actually Piano Sensei. So what you get is online training, on the specifics of each technical element and how to assess them. Online training on how to assess the ear test and the sight reading test. Printable PDFs of all the levels, which actually that's the freebie that I gave you already. Google Sheets, which you can duplicate for multiple students, and that's in all the levels so that you can have digital records and, you know, check off the criteria as students progress. So I'll give you all that. You can get editable templates for the experience points so you can customize for your own events and projects. You know, like on mine, it says play at the Halloween recital, you get 3 points. Well, you might not have a Halloween recital. So you can put in your own events, make up your own points or whatever. But basically, I'll give you like an editable template so that you can put that in yourself. You'll get the cover page template for student binders. So you just like type their name in and that, you know, they'll have the right level and you can put that in their binders. I'll give you the certificates for each level so that, you know, you can print them out and give it to them at your award ceremony, whenever that is. And then you'll also have the ability to order the medals, which are $10 each plus shipping, which isn't that bad. And yeah, those are really cool. Everybody loves the medals. So if you want that, it's $297, but $50 off when you mention the podcast. So it's $247. And just email me, cj@pianosensei.com. So that's if you want to become a Piano Sensei certified instructor and use this system in your studio. But like I said, you don't have to. You can just copy all the things into your own system and it's fine. It's totally free. I won't be upset, even though I spent hundreds of hours, because I think it's helpful and I want people to have the benefit of the students having progress and all of that. You know, and like I said, it really did help my students after I started doing this, because the ones who kind of weren't progressing, like, I guess, you know, maybe part of it was something I was doing or they were doing, but once there was a system that was kind of like, seemed like it was third party, even though I was just assessing them, it was like, oh, I want to get to the next level, right? And so it's just more motivating and they started making more progress, they started practicing more regularly, you know, just to have a goal and a sense of direction, like, oh, I'm working for that. It's just really helpful. And I know there are other systems too, and exams and levels. This one's just different in a couple ways. First of all, we have the experience points. And then, oh, I didn't mention the improv. So they have to improvise too, and they pass that. As of right now, like as long as they try, and I know kind of what they're capable of, then they pass. But I am in the process of coming up with a systematized improv criteria, you know, for example, a right-hand melody on black keys and like an appropriate left-hand bass note, you know, for a certain level. Or once they get more advanced, you know, arpeggiated chords in the key and then a melody and it has to be in, you know, a Dorian key or something. So different criteria like that. But for now, it's just, you know, as long as they try something, they pass the improv. Just to wrap up, I hope this was helpful and you can see how it can be motivating and helping students to progress, and for the parents too, because they like knowing, you know, that there's a path other than just, oh, I got to my next book, right? Because this is very comprehensive. It's not just, I can play that piece, so let me do a harder piece. It's, I've done all these scales, I did all those pieces, I can hear intervals. Thank you for listening, and let me know if you have questions or comments. And again, go to benchmark.thepianosenseiway.com for the download. This has been The Piano Sensei Way. Take care.